Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, true history, mostly. We hear a profile of the circus on the Cavalcade of America later on, but right now a one-off program dedicated to the life of comedian Jimmy Durante. Called Only Yesterday, this was first heard on CBS on March 14, 1943.
With Jimmy Durante as tonight's guest star, the Columbia Broadcasting System presents Only Yesterday.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Only Yesterday. And this is Benny Rubin, happy to be your guide on this little tour of your own memories. It's not a very long trip, just back to the 20s or early 30s. To some of those sights and sounds that awaken a pleasant feeling of nostalgia.
Did you say nostalgia? That must be my introduction.
No. Not yet. Wait a minute. I'm coming to you in a little while.
A little while? By the time I get on, my material will be out of date.
Jimmy, please, not so fast.
In radio, you gotta be fast. Why, I heard Bob Hope last week, and he told 6 jokes before the audience was through applauding Fever McGee and Molly.
Fever McGee? Well, but this happens to be Only Yesterday. You know, we like to get the folks in the mood first. Now, why don't you sit down and mull things over for a while?
You stumbled, Benny. Very well. For the nonce, I'll mull.
Yesterday, the Sunday half hour that the Columbia Broadcasting System is designed for you and your fondest recollections. Jimmy Durante is starring guest with us, along with our musical regulars Don Walker and his orchestra, Mary Small and Bobby Tucker singers. Bob Hannon is our visiting boyfriend of the night and our guide this week, and every week is the funny fellow who headlines your favorite vaudeville theaters for many times, Benny Rubin.
Thank you. Thanks, Harry. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This show is concerned with the music, the manners, and the fun and the frolic of 15 or 20 years ago time that seems like only yesterday. Hot Lips and Hooch, Ben Turpin and Barney Oldfield. When Adolph Monge was a villain and Myrna Loy was an oriental vamp, Michael Arlen's novel, The Green Hat, was selling like hotcakes, coin a phrase. And I remember I wore a green hat myself that season because I was telling a joke about two Irishmen. They were standing at the bar of Texas Guinan's place. Suddenly, one walked up to the other, grabbed him by the collar and said, "Grogan, I'm going to bash your face. Did you hear that?" And with that, he hauled off and clipped the little guy. "That's what you beat me for. I'm not Grogan."
"I'll break you in two, Grogan. Now here's something to remember me by." Boom! And he laced it into him.
"Flapper, now you're assassinating me. I'm not Grogan."
"Grogan, you're right. There's a couple of teeth there that ought to come out." Boom!
Well, the little fella picked himself up off the floor and he said, "You better listen to me now. I'm not Grogan." With that, the big guy pulled the little fella over to him and he said,
"But by golly, no, you're not Grogan, are you?"
"Then what's the idea of hitting a stranger? You beat me within an inch of me life. It's a disgrace now, you walking around and hitting an innocent man. You ought to be ashamed of yourself."
"Ah, now take it easy, you shrimp. Just because you ain't Grogan don't mean you're perfect either."
Well, shortly after that, I changed my material. And in 1928, I was doing a brand new act. And across the street, a brand new show was giving me quite a lot of competition. The show was called Present Arms, and it was by Messrs. Fields, Rogers, and Hart. Mary Small stands ready, willing and able, to proffer a hit soon from the same. Miss S. will be accompanied by Don Walker and his Night Before the Day Before Only Yesterday syncopator.
I'm a sentimental sap, that's all. What's the use of trying not to fall? I have no will. You've made your kill because you took advantage of me. I'm just like an apple on a bough, and you're going to shake me down somehow. So what's the use? You cooked my goose and you took advantage of me. I'm so hot and bothered that I don't know my elbow from my ear. I suffer something awful each time you go, and much worse when you're near. Here am I with all my bridges burned, just a babe in arms where you're concerned. So lock the doors, call me yours, you took advantage of me. in the spring when the feeling was chronic and my caution was leaving you flat. I should have made use of the tonic before you gave me that. A mental deficient, you'll grade me. I've given you plenty of data. You came, you saw, you slayed me. And that is that.
Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of stars have achieved fame in pictures on the stage and on the air. Our guest tonight has certainly done all three. But what counts for much more than that in my book is his great talent for making and holding friends. Whether it's Times Square, The Loop, or Vine Street, you can't walk a block with him without hearing dozens of people call out, "Hello, Jimmy Durante!" You're finally on. What have you got to say?
I'm speechless.
Well, I wouldn't bet on that, Jimmy. I've seen you on the stage too often.
But this is different. Radio, what a medium. Think of it, Benny. Us standing here and millions of people sitting in their homes.
Yes.
And some of them as far west as Georgia.
West as Georgia.
They turn a little dial and boom, they hear Benny Rubin saying, "Here's Jimmy Durante." They perk up their ears. They adjust their ties and collars, or if it's the other sex, something more elastic. Then they turn another little dial and boom, chamber music.
Well, you're not giving us any of the best of it, Jimmy. But I noticed that while you were waiting to come on, you seemed a little upset about something. Or shall we say, distray?
You say that. I call it perturbation.
What is the cause of this?
Perturbation. The income tax.
Oh, that.
All week I've been trying to figure it out. Pay as you go. Don't pay as you go. 20% a week. Deducted at the source. And forced savings. The Rummel plan. No Rummel plan. Commute the first quarter on the last year's rate. Forget about last year's rate. No, don't forget about last year's rate. Last year's rates will be forgiven. Last year won't be forgiven. I'm telling you, Benny, there's only one consolation.
Well, what's that?
Them guys in Washington are more mixed up than I am.
That I'll bet on. But, you know, look, you've been out in Hollywood for quite a while now. How does it feel to get back in New York?
Great, but the subways are too crowded.
Too crowded, huh?
Why, I stood in the local the other day for three stations before a lady got up and gave me her seat.
A lady gave you her seat?
Yes. She was reading a newspaper that was wrapped around a flounder.
Yeah.
When suddenly...
He likes it.
When suddenly she took a look at my nose and said, "Sit down, bud. You're carrying a bigger bundle than I am."
Jimmy, suppose we tiptoe back to only yesterday, when you first began to pound the piano for a living. Where did you start?
It was a little joint on the Bowery. I remember there was a sign in the window that said, "Tables for Ladies."
Well, where did the men eat off the floor?
Well put, Mr. Rubin.
Oh, thank you for putting it.
They were a tough bunch of hombres, all right, but I soon learned how to quell their rampant ribaldry. I'm as sharp as a sponge cake tonight.
How did you handle those gorillas, Jimmy?
It was child's play.
It was, yeah.
I simply step up in front of the piano, raise my hands for silence, and say, "Gentlemen, please, an artiste is about to perform."
Artiste, then what?
Then I'd manage my beak and start to play.
I'd like to have an iodine concession in that joint. Well, where did you go from there, Jimmy?
Right uptown, to 10th Street.
Yeah.
This was a much classier place.
You say 10th Street was a...
Very much classier place.
Swanee.
Yes, it had boots. And the management was very strict. Only the head waiter was allowed to serve a Mickey. I'll never forget that spot. They used to stand at the park 10 deep. Then prohibition came along.
And?
Then they used to stand at the bar 12 deep.
You mean...
Yes, Durante played piano in a cordial shop. Shortly thereafter, however, I was asked to team up with Lou Clayton and Eddie Jackson.
Who suggested that?
Lou Clayton and Eddie Jackson.
Oh, I see.
And a merry triumvirate.
Who
wrote that line?
Triumvirate?
We were.
Oh, you were that, yes.
Please read your own script, Mr. Reed. We opened our little bistro in the roaring 40s and called it the Dover Club. Remember it, Benny?
I sure do, yes.
Yep, that was an up-to-the-minute cabaret. We even had an exhaust fan. We even had an exhaust fan put in that drew out the oxygen and brought in the foul air.
Well, Jimmy, it's a far cry from those arduous days to the competitive sumptuousness of your present transcontinental peregrination.
What? That's what I say, what?
Now, what I mean is there's no more knocking around for you, Jimmy. Now you travel in style. Tell me, how was your trip in from Hollywood?
Very uneventful. I did have a little trouble with the food and the dining car. I ordered a hamburger a la carte, of course. But then I got a little dubious about the nature of the meat.
Why?
Why? It was the way that waiter took my order. I said, give me a hamburger. And he says, how do you want it, for place or show? But enough of Durante, the gourmandizer. I love them lines.
Yeah.
Leave us discuss Durante, the legitimate actor.
No. Don't tell me you want to play Hamlet.
A fig for your levity, Reuben.
Thank you, sir, for the fig.
A great line, but a little corny. I have always wanted to star in a newspaper play like Front Page.
Yeah.
Not being besieged with offers from the theater guild, I wrote my own newspaper play coming in on the train.
What's the name of the play?
The Sharp Sister's Revenge, or Don't Cry Into Your Milk, Nellie. There's enough water in it now.
Oh, that sounds fearfully interesting. And now the curtain rises on Jimmy Durante's stirring saga of newspaper life in the 20s.
Scandal, gossip, and crime stories claimed the front pages of that day. But there was one editor who felt it his duty to clean up the city. That man was J. Pulitzer Durante, guiding genius of the city's most powerful paper, the Daily Star, Herald, Times, Bugle, Citizen, Clarion, Globe, Dispatch. Our scene opens in the paper's editorial office.
Suddenly, an electrifying shout comes through the room.
Stop the presses! Stop the presses! Stop that press.
What's up, Chief? You got a big story?
No, I got my nose caught in the wheels. Copy boy. Hey, copy boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Take the story downstairs. Tell him to set it up in 48 points with a double truck, six-column lead, and two half-tone cuts.
I got you. Yes, sir.
Just a second, son.
Yes, sir.
You mean to say you understand what I said?
Certainly.
You're fired. Nobody works for this paper that knows more than me. Went to my private office. 14 years. Here's a free copy of the paper, but continue.
Editor Durante, I don't want any... Not as your secretary, but...
But yes. Take off those glasses, Miss Murgatroyd. Take that pencil out of your hair. God, I've been a fool. Do you hear? A blind, blind fool. Murgatroyd, you're ugly. Now, Murgatroyd, go in... My star reporter, Beamish.
Yes, sir. He said I was ugly.
Let's see now. What's this I have on my daily reminder pad? Sunday, March the 14th. See, May the 9th. Friday, July 19th. July 19th. See, September 4th. Thursday, September 4th. See, Tuesday, this 19th. Oh, don't forget the... I was the last chap.
Here I am, Chief. Thanks, I have one.
I want to talk to you about.
Yes,
there's
sir.
A certain guy in this Holly Car franchise.
Chief?
Beamish. He'll break this case, Ali Star, Herald, Citizen, Clarion, Globe, Dispatch. Which reminds me, the opposition paper in this town wants to become affiliated with
Dealer Gazette, son.
That combination front page. Daily Star, Donut, Post, Maine, Dealer, Gazette, Sun.
Chief, there'll just be room enough left. For further details, consult your local radio. Well, what about this trouble?
I got an idea.
Yes.
I'm going in to see the picture of this paper, right? You wait here, Beamish.
Come in.
Mr. Desmond,
yes.
The time has come for I and you to have a showdown.
Have a care, Durante. You're overstepping your bounds.
Fie on my bounds.
Fie?
Mr. Desmond, the man behind the trolley car swindle is Blackie Desmond. But who was behind Blackie Desmond? That's what I want to know, Mr. Desmond. Wait a minute, Desmond. His name is Blackie Desmond and your first initial is W. What does that stand for?
Whitey.
Blackie and Whitey Desmond. I think I smell something in Denmark. Are you two related?
We are brothers.
Answer my question. But first, another question. When that trolley car conductor was found strangled with the franchise in his pocket, there were no fingerprints in his throat. Tell me, Desmond, why do you always wear gloves?
I'm trying to stop biting my nails.
Copyright, copyright. You're working hand in glove with your brother, Blackie. But it's all over now. You're going away for a long, long time, Desmond. Yes, for a long, long time.
Whitey, my son.
Hello, Mother.
What's wrong, Whitey? You look even whiter than usual.
It's a hard thing to tell a mother, madam, especially in front of the entire staff. But this infamous deed demands a public denunciation. Hold the presser, staff, on the double. Enter. Quiet. This is a hard thing to tell a mother, madam, but your son is going to jail.
Jail?
It was inevitable.
It'll be my line. It was inevitable, Mother.
Sorry, I apologize. I've never done that in 20 years in radio.
Mother, I have strayed from the straight and narrow path. Time and time again, I stole money from widows and orphans.
Time and time again, I embezzled, cheated at cards, swindled my friends, and poisoned total strangers, too.
Granted. And madam, and gentlemen of the press, why has he done these dreadful things? Was it his heredity that made him a thief? Was it his environment that made him an embezzler? No. Who wrote this? Shakespeare? Gentlemen of the press, why has he done these dreadful things? Has it his heredity that made him a thief? No. Was it his environment that made him an embezzler? No. Was it upbringing that caused him to cheat and poison? No. I have worked with your son, Mrs. Dedderman, and I know the real reason. I know the real reason.
What is it?
He's just a natural-born bum.
Jimmy, your acting and your play was simply wonderful. But even more than Durante the thespian, some of us Only Yesterday fans are waiting to hear Durante the crooner.
I like your attitude, Benny.
Well, what'll it be, Jimmy?
Well, Benny, you call this program Only Yesterday. I got a tune picked out that I think fits like a glove.
Good.
It seems like only yesterday that I sang it in the old Dover Club. And I never sing it without thinking of one fella who used to come in there, who always asked me to do it. He was the man responsible for boosting the old schnoz wherever he went. He was the great Sam Silverman. When he wasn't running the famous theatrical paper Variety, he was busy helping people in and out of show business.
And the song, Jimmy?
Broadway, Boy? My Street.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, I have never seen the Mississippi River, and what's more, I know I wouldn't like to try to spell it. What a word, Mississippi. I never threw razor blades in the Grand Canyon. I always get shaved by a barber. But all my life I've lived on Broadway. The streets are fake, I mean Broadway. Call it the main stem, the big artery, Coffee Pot Canyon, Orange Juice Gulch, the double crossroads of the world. Call it what you will, I'm still. And you know, Benny,
yes?
When they pat you on the back, they're only looking for a spot where to knife you, but it's a great world. My street, let me diagnose it. 42nd Street and 7th Avenue, everybody calls it Broadway. There's the Rialto Theater, known for the fans as Boris Karloff's townhouse. Yes, but when Boris in town, he goes to the music hall or drops at the Shrabs. Sightseeing buses, old women sitting in them, making believe they're customers. They're just decoys to draw trade. It's a fake. It's a phony. And the barker's shouting, see the bar, he elects a tour on Bowling Green. There ain't no Bowling Green in that neighborhood. They just take it to the Battery. It's a fake. It's a phony. But it's my street, the heart of the world. Benny, let's take a stroll up Broadway. Look at that guy over there selling song sheets. He's hollering all the latest hits. The latest hits. Why, the first song you come to is Dardanella. It's good, but it's late. Look who's coming down the street. Isn't he the well-dressed man? Tuxedo high hat? Must be some big society fella. Wait a minute, his shirt's lighting up. He's advertising the Ice Palace, skating every night. You can even hear the big fight at Madison Square Garden, round for round the doorway of that sheet music shop. And if you're interested in art, you can even look at the picture postal cards and a piano concert to boot.
There's nothing on the level.
Listen to that swing band rehearsing. It annoys the tailor two doors away. In a week, he'll pay to hear the same band and call it amusement. There's a newsboy. Let's get tomorrow's paper today and see what happens tomorrow. Why, it's a fake.
It's a phony.
But it's my street. The heart of the world. There's Al Jolson. Hello, Al.
Hello, Al. How are you?
He's just getting a break. He's going to get his name in light starting tomorrow night. Look at him talking to himself. I'll bet he's saying, what good is the daytime? You can't see your name in light. He's saying, come on, Broadway, get hot. Get dark. And there they go first night as glory seekers, critics and con men. And some of those who click soon forget that you knew them when.
Right.
But they don't have to be so ritzy just because fame fell in their laps. Let them take a walk through a graveyard. All tombstones read alike. Why, it's a fake. It's a phony.
Oh.
But it's my street, the heart of the world.
Tonight's look back into only yesterday. Next Sunday, that delightful and gracious leading lady, Miss Billy Burke, will play a return appearance with us. And we're certainly looking forward to that.
With Miss Billy Burke, we'll hear Mary Small and Bobby Tucker sing as usual, with the music conducted and arranged by Don Walker. And your guide and companion through the fun and frolic of only yesterday will be Benny Rubin.
Who hopes you've enjoyed being with us. Good night.
Only Yesterday is produced and directed for CBS by William Spear. Harry Clark speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Only Yesterday, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 14, 1943 on CBS, a profile of the career of Jimmy Durante. Within his radio career in 1935, he had starred in a radio program known as the Jumbo Fire Chief Show, which was on air 2 weeks before the stage counterpart of the show, known now as one of the most expensive failures in radio. Being broadcast from the Hippodrome in New York to an audience of 4,500 every week, the program at that time had an expense of $15,000 a week. It had low ratings as well as the stage show, and both closed after short runs on the stage and radio. It's an hour of true history on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and now a profile of the circus on the Cavalcade of America. Though not a true story verbatim, a great portrait next of the circus in this NBC broadcast, first heard on April 8, 1946.
Starring Ann Revere and Ted Donaldson in Circus Day on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company. Maker of better things for better living through chemistry. But first, here is Gain Whitman.
Before we begin our play tonight, here is helpful information about DuPont Z-Lan Durable Repellent Finish. Z-Lan is the water repellent that is different because it is durable. Rainwear, sportswear, and children's clothes treated with Z-Lan do not need reprocessing because, unlike ordinary water repellents, Z-Lan protection will not come out at the laundry or dry cleaners. Z-Lan treated garments will continue to give you rain protection after many washings or cleanings. DuPont Z-Lan, it's one of the DuPont Company's better things for better living through chemistry.
The DuPont Company presents Circus Day, starring Ann Revere as Mrs. Hopkins and Ted Donaldson as her son, Jeff, on the Cavalcade of America.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the greatest acts of all time. Thrilling, terrifying, tremendous. Feats of daring, the marvelous, maddening, miraculous escape from the very shores of
death. Yes, folks, it's the Bolton and Leopold Yellow Circus, one of the dozens of circus companies that have crisscrossed America for many a decade. Circus Day has been, and still is, a time when the heart beats faster and carnival fever runs through towns like an epidemic. This is the story of the long-awaited day in the little town of Fairfield, Iowa. It is 4:30 in the morning, and the Bolton and Leopold Yellow Circus is unloading from the railroad siding. The circus has come to town.
Easy as you go, let it out easy, like.
That's the last wagon off. Get a move on, lad.
Okay, okay.
Take her off the siding there. The catchcases off first and settle them down. Come on, boys, let's move.
Morning, boys.
Morning, Cyan.
Fine morning, fine morning.
Yep, sure.
Well, I'll get along out of your way. See you at the lot. Well, where'd you come from, Injun?
Injun? What Injun? What?
What are you doing here at this hour, son?
Well, I come to see you unload.
Oh, mighty early for a shaver to be out of his bed.
Yes, sir.
Well, see all you wanted to see?
Oh, but the elephants. Where are they, sir?
What's your name, son?
Jeff. Jeff Hopkins.
Uh-huh. Mine's Charlie. Known as Cheyenne Charlie.
Cheyenne Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
Jeepers. Holy smoking frog legs. You're the Wild West rider.
Sure am, Jeff. But let you and me get something straight.
Yes, Mr. Cheyenne?
Ain't there no school today?
Oh, sure. But it's too early. School don't take up until 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh. You got a mom?
Sure thing.
Swell one, huh?
You bet.
Dad's a great fella, too, huh?
He's dead.
Oh. Well, I tell you what, Jeff. You better get on back home before that swell mom gets to fretting over you.
Hey, how'd you know she didn't know I was here?
Jeff, I got a gray goatee and mustache, but I didn't always have them. I was about your age and size once, too, and my swell mom didn't know where I was half the time either. Let's see, town's over 2 miles from here, ain't it?
Well, that's right. Maybe a little more, but I don't mind.
Uh-huh. Let's see, it's now 4:55. Figuring on the way a kid walks and counting in, picking up stones and sticks, chucking rocks at trees, chasing down a squirrel or two, that 2 miles should take you just about, well, right up to the time your mom gets you out of bed.
Gee, Mr. Cheyenne, how'd you know I do all them things?
I ain't never growed up, Jeff. I do them myself.
Oh, well, you're swell. Maybe you'll come see us, huh?
Well, now, might be. But right now, I got to think about my laundry. Know anybody that'd turn out about 2 tons of shirts and underwear in a day?
Well, my mom. Gee, my mom'd do it. She'd do it for you, Mr. Cheyenne.
Okay, you write down the address, and I'll be there.
Jeff. Jeff, it's time to get up now. Jeff, where are you?
Here I am, Mom. I'm up already.
And dressed? What's come over you?
Nothing.
You feeling all right?
Sure.
Jeff.
Why?
That mud on your shoes. Did you go down to the railway station?
Yes, Mom.
Oh, now, Jeff, what did I tell you last night?
Oh, you told me not to get up early this morning and go watch the circus come off the train.
And why did you?
Oh, but gosh, Mom.
Oh, Jeff, why did you have to do it?
Oh, but, Mom, on account of Dad was in the circus, maybe I can't help it. Maybe it's kind of born in me.
Jeff, don't say that, please.
Was Dad killed in the circus? Did something go wrong?
How did you know?
Well, I found a clipping in the desk. Only I couldn't understand it.
Jeff, I've always meant to tell you, but after it happened, I wanted to shut the circus out of our lives. I wanted to settle down here, anywhere, and make sure that you'd live a normal life and go to school and learn something. I just wanted never to hear the word circus again.
Oh, it must have been awful, Mom. What happened?
No, I don't want to talk about it, Jeff. Even now, after all these years, I still get cold thinking about it.
Was Dad wonderful?
The most wonderful man in the whole circus.
Gosh.
Now, come on and have your breakfast, Jeff. The porridge is ready.
All right, Mom.
Now, I don't want you to be late for school again. Did you finish your homework last night?
Almost.
Your arithmetic?
Almost.
Now, Jeff.
Oh, gosh, Mom, the stuff is so silly. A paper hanger has to paper a room, and the walls are 9 feet high, and so on and so on. How many rolls of paper does he need?
Now, what's wrong with that?
Well, I'm not going to be a paper hanger. What do I care about it? All about such dumb things.
Now, look, Jeff. All that you learn now is going to help you later. You never know how, but it will. So you do those problems, Jeff.
Oh, I try to.
All right, now mind you do your best.
I will. Hey, what's that? Oh, gee. It's the circus. Mom, it's passing by. Gee, isn't it wonderful?
Yes, it is wonderful. Come on now, Jeff. Eat your breakfast.
Oh, boy. Look, Mom, there's a wild horse rider. There's Cheyenne Charlie. Mr. Cheyenne, Cheyenne Charlie.
Hello.
Gosh, Mom. He answered me.
What on earth is Cheyenne Charlie?
Well, one of the greatest riders in the world, that's all. I talked to him this morning.
What about?
I asked him to come to our house while he's here. I gave him my address. Do you think he'll come?
Well, let's not worry about that now, Jeff.
I guess he's about the greatest man in the circus.
Come on now. Stop your dreaming. Go eat your breakfast. Off to school.
Okay, Mom. But watch out for Cheyenne Charlie and be nice to him when he comes.
Don't worry. I don't think there's much chance that he's coming here.
Quiet, please. Quiet.
All right. Jeff Hopkins, will you take the next problem?
Yes, ma'am. If a bridge can stand a weight of 3 tons and a truck weighing 1 ton is going across it and another truck... Oh, for Pete's sake.
All right, Jeff. What's the answer?
How many trucks can go across without falling through?
Well, you're supposed to have worked on this last night.
Oh, it's so silly.
What did you say?
Well, I'm not going to be a truck driver, so why should I...
Jeff, go and stand in the corner, and you will stay after school.
Oh, but it's circus day.
Stand in the corner.
Yes.
Yes?
Is this the home of Mrs. Hopkins?
I'm Mrs. Hopkins.
Well, ma'am, I'm Cheyenne Charlie from the Bolton Leapole Yeller Circus.
Oh.
Your youngin' told me this morning that you wash clothes, so I brought my sack of Sunday best.
Oh. Is that what Jeff told you, that I take in washing?
He sure did, ma'am, bright and early this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't do any outside washing. It's all I can do to keep up with our own.
Oh, I see. I reckon the boy told a Wendy.
Well, I guess he was just trying to get you to come to the house.
Well, no harm done. I guess I'll vamoose along now and...
What's the matter?
Excuse me, ma'am, but where have I seen you before?
Well, I don't know.
I just noticed that picture on the wall. Ain't that... Sure it is. Hopkins the Magnificent, ain't it, ma'am?
Yes. That's Hopkins the Magnificent.
Of the high trapeze and... Say, wait a minute. Why, you're the girl that used to ride around on the elephant.
Yes?
Sure enough. Oh, I guess you wouldn't remember me, ma'am. I just joined up as one of the riders when you left to have your baby. Say, the youngin'.
What about him?
Is he the son of Hopkins the Magnificent?
Yes.
Well, no wonder he likes circuses. No wonder he come around at dawn.
No, no, please, don't talk like that. For heaven's sake, please.
Oh. Well, what have I said, ma'am?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just that always... Since the accident, I've been afraid that someday Jeff would want to join a circus and go through what we went through.
It was an awful thing, ma'am. I remember it like it was today. I never saw such an aerial artist.
He never slipped.
No, ma'am. Even on that day, it wasn't really a slip.
One of the ropes snarled. Just that time, the net had to fail.
The only time I ever saw one do it.
And that's the reason why... Well, when Jeff gets so excited about the circus, my heart stands still.
Oh, he's just a kid, ma'am. I reckon it's just a kid's excitement.
I know, but how can I be sure?
Maybe if you treated it more natural-like, he wouldn't feel like it was some special fever that was in his blood. Maybe if you took him to the circus yourself, ma'am, just like other kids,
Mom. I know. I know I've told myself that, but I'm scared. Oh, please, if he comes around here again and starts talking dreamy ideas about a circus, don't let him. I want him to go up, go to school and learn something.
I know powerful well how you feel, ma'am.
Someday he'll grow up and he'll decide for himself what he wants to be, but when that time comes, I want him to have a choice. I want him to have enough education so that he can be what he wants to be.
I know what you mean, ma'am. I sure enough do.
If he comes to you, will you talk to him?
I sure will, ma'am. For the son of Hopkins the Magnificent, there ain't nothing I wouldn't do.
Thanks. If you want to leave those clothes with me, maybe I can find time to do them. Jeff?
Oh, yes, Mom. I was just thinking.
Dreaming again?
No, just thinking, Mom.
About what?
Well, I was thinking about...
No. No, don't tell me. Hand me those clothespins.
Sure. Gee, it was swell of you to do those clothes for Mr. Cheyenne.
Why on earth did you tell him that I'd do it, Jeff?
Oh, he's a swell guy.
It's a good thing you don't meet many swell guys.
Well, you ain't mad, are you, Mom?
Mad? No. Come here, Jeff. I never get mad at you, darling. Not really. Just a little impatient.
Oh. Well, that ain't the same thing, is it?
No, I suppose not. But, Jeff, I wish you'd pay more attention to your schoolwork and do your lessons.
Lessons? Oh, gee, Mom, I do. But those arithmetic problems are so dumb.
Dumb? What do you mean?
Oh, like, well, if Farmer Jones had 3 acres and gave 1/3 to his son and kept 1/4 for himself, oh, gosh, what kind of a farm would keep dividing his land up all the time? Cheyenne Charlie wouldn't do a dumb thing like that.
Cheyenne Charlie doesn't have anything to do with it. Now, Jeff, why can't you keep your mind on other things besides the circus?
Oh, gee, Mom, today's circus day. But honest, after I see the show tonight, I promise I'll forget all about circuses and do my arithmetic.
Jeff, look at me.
Yeah?
Jeff, you'll keep that promise, won't you?
I never did break one, did I, Mom?
Well, only tiny little ones.
Oh, like going and swimming when I said I wouldn't?
Yes. That's a tiny promise, Jeff, and you shouldn't break it. But there's something in boys, big and little, that makes them break promises like that. But there are other kinds of promises, Jeff. Ones that you have to keep.
Sure, I know.
They're the ones that'll affect somebody else if you break them. That's the kind you must keep.
I always keep the big one.
I know. Now we go to the circus tonight and...
Wait, what? You going too?
Yep, I'm going with you, Jeff.
Oh, gee, holy smoking frog legs. But I thought you didn't like to. I mean... Well,
I changed my mind. Now, come on, hand me those clothes, Jeff. Or Mr. Cheyenne Charlie's going to have to ride out like Lady Godiva.
You are listening to Ann Revere as Mrs. Hopkins and Ted Donaldson as Jeff, her son, in Circus Day on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry. As our second act opens, Mrs. Hopkins has not only assured her son Jeff that he may attend the circus, but has promised to go with him. And now as they are entering the circus grounds, Jeff walks around wide-eyed in breathless awe of the snake charmer, fat lady, cotton candy, popcorn, balloons, flags, pennants, and other fascinations of the great Midway.
Gee, Mom, look at it. Ain't it wonderful? Oh, boy. Look, the animals are right over there, and the sideshows are right down there.
Yes, I know, Jeff.
And there's the big top, Mom. Mom, you are going in with me, ain't
you? Are you sure you wouldn't rather go in with the other kids?
Oh, gee, Mom, you said you would. And that's a big promise. Like one of those you told me nobody should ever break.
Sure, Jeff. It's a big promise to you. I'm breaking one I made to myself, though, a long time ago. Oh, come on. Here we go.
Oh, boy. First, can we look at the animals, huh?
All right, Jeff. The animals first.
Balloon, 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 get your child a toy balloon.
Heads there,
heads there, heads there, heads there.
How much do they cost?
Why, for that sweet child, why, here you are, son, and it's only 10 cents.
That's too much.
All right, then give me back the balloon.
Johnny, give the balloon back to the man.
Yeah, see, he won't give it back.
Oh, you stuck it in his hand. You did it on purpose.
Madam, pay me or else give me back my balloon.
Johnny, give it back to the man. Here's your dime, and it's a cheap trick.
Thank you, ma'am, thank you. Balloons, balloons, a free balloon with every thin dime. Hurry, hurry, get your balloon.
All right, step up, folks. Step up and get your tickets for the big show. $1 for grown-ups and 50 cents for children. Children in arms are free.
I want a ticket for one.
Well, how about that boy?
You said children in arms free, didn't you?
Why, that boy's big enough to carry you inside. Who's next, Jim?
Mister, I was just inside and someone threw my hat out. Can I go back in?
Nobody threw your hat out, son. You ain't never been inside. Get your mother to buy you a ticket. How many, lady?
Two, please. One child.
Well, here you are, lady. Two tickets. Go right in. See the greatest show on earth. Just about to start.
And now, the great Polite. Pietro the Fearless will jump from one trapeze to the other at the dizzy height of 120 feet.
Jeff.
What's the matter, Mom?
I can't look at it. I can't look.
Oh, but Mom.
What's happening now, Jeff?
He's getting pulled way up to the top. He's hanging on by only one hand. Did Dad do that, Mom?
Yes. He did that, son. One hand.
Hey, he's almost up. He is.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, keep your eyes on Pietro the Peerless as he makes his terrifying leap for life across the vast expanse of the upper reaches of the big top. A leap from one trapeze to another, turning a triple somersault on the way, and ending on the swinging trapeze on the opposite side.
Gosh, Mom.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pietro the Peerless in the leap for life.
He's swinging back and forth, higher and higher.
I know, Jeff, without looking. I know every movement, every motion of the trapeze. Like a pendulum of a clock. Back and forth. Back and forth. Higher. Higher.
And you ain't even looking up.
I can tell, Jeff. I can tell by the time that's passed. There's the last backswing. The last arch of his body.
He's let go! He's...
Jeff! What happened?
He missed, Mom, but he's all right. He landed right in the net. Mom, look, he's going to try it again. He's getting ready to go up again.
Yes, I know, Jeff. I'm looking.
What? You're all right, Mom. You sick?
No, I'm all right.
Well, you better let me take you home. Come on, we'll go right home.
No, Jeff.
But, Mom, you...
No, Jeff, we'll stay. We'll stay and see the show, Jeff. All the way through.
Everything's in order. We're ready to move out. Ready to get with your wagon, Cheyenne.
Yeah, I'll close up this tailgate.
Hey, what's this?
Ow.
Huh? A foot. Come on out, you.
I'm coming. Hello, Mr. Cheyenne.
Well, what are you doing here, Jeff?
Well, I've been thinking about it, Mr. Cheyenne, and, well, I want to get into a circus.
Oh. What about your mother and your school?
Oh, they're always making me do homework.
What kind of homework?
Oh, problems.
Well, do you think you can be in the circus and be an ignoramus?
Oh, I suppose not, but...
Jeff, did your mother tell you about your father and how he died?
She told me tonight. She said he was one of the most wonderful trapeze men she ever saw.
He sure enough was. He died in the same kind of fall Pietro had tonight. Only for your father, the net somehow crumpled up that night.
So was it carelessness?
No, Jeff. Folks were never careless in circuses. It was just that they didn't know then what we know now. You see, today we got a man in this circus that figures out things. And he says, if a body weighs 150 pounds and falls 120 feet, how strong does a net have to be at just this point to make sure that...
You mean like a problem?
Sure. Like a problem in arithmetic.
Gee, I never thought of that.
You see, Jeff, your own father's life might have been saved if we'd had somebody back then that knew how to figure things out. So if you want to grow up and maybe be useful someday to a circus or something else maybe, well, you go and work on them problems.
All right. Start rolling.
So long, Jeff. Go back to your ma and your schooling and forget the circus for a while.
I will. So long, Cheyenne Charlie.
So long, boy.
Jeff, come here.
Gee, I didn't know you were up, Mom.
Oh, yes, I'm up. You sneaked out, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Well, I...
Why, Jeff?
I thought I'd kind of join the circus.
Oh. But you came back.
Uh-huh. I came back.
Good boy.
What? You ain't mad?
No, Jeff, I'm not. Not at all. What made you come back, son?
Well, holy smoking fog, Ray. Who wants to be up to be an ignorant... Well, who wants to be dumb?
What do you mean, son?
Oh, look, Mom. Those problems we have to do in school, they mean something. You see, supposing a fellow wants to build a bridge or a big building or a circus net, how does he know how to do it if he don't know how?
Exactly. It's impossible.
Sure is. So I'm going to learn how. Problems are important.
Very important.
Yes, they are. Now, you better get ready for bed, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
And get up when I call you the first time. You don't want to be late for school.
School? Again tomorrow? I thought it was Saturday.
Well, it's not. Saturday's the day after.
Oh, okay. Good night, Mom.
Jeff?
Yeah, Mom?
Next year, there'll be another circus day. We'll go again, son. You and I.
Revere and Ted Donaldson will return to our cavalcade microphone in a moment.
Play ball!
Oh, wait a minute, Ted. What was that for?
Well, Mr. Whitman, it's just about that time of the year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I was curious for a different reason.
Well, what do you mean, Mr. Whitman?
I think, Ted, that Gain is leading up to something about the show for next week.
Is everybody around here psychic?
No, but baseball's in the air.
You're so right, Mr. Revere. And next Monday night, it'll be on the air.
Oh, gee, how?
Cavalcade is going to do the story of one of baseball's greatest men. The man whose name was known from the big diamonds down to the smallest sandlot.
I'll be psychic again, Gain, and make a guess.
Okay, go right ahead.
John J. McGraw.
Gee, John McGraw, the New York Giant?
That's it, Ted. And Pat O'Brien is going to star in the role.
Say, that's a cavalcade we won't want to miss.
Oh, I'll be listening.
Find me a seat in the bleachers. I'll be there, too.
You're both in. And while you're still here, we'd like to thank both of you and hand out a pair of orchids for your performances tonight.
Thanks a lot.
Good night.
Good night.
Henry Beer may soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, Dragon Wake. And Ted Donaldson may soon be seen in the Columbia production, Return of Rusty.
The music for tonight's DuPont Cavalcade was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. In our cast tonight were Griff Barnett as Cheyenne Charlie, Francis X. Bushman, Dick Ryan, Tommy Bernard, Rosemary Kelly, Margaret Brayton, Jack Carrington, and Jerry Hausner. Our cavalcade play was written by Sigmund Miller. This is Tom Collins inviting you to listen next week to The Great McGraw, starring Pat O'Brien, on The Cavalcade of America, brought to you by the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Cavalcade of America, from April 8, 1946 on NBC, with a profile of the circus. And that brings to a close this hour of mostly true history on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levenier. Thanks for listening.